This is the story of an inventor. The area around Nairobi National Park in Kenya had a problem. Cattle herds in the area were under constant attack by lions. The cattle herders there are not wealthy, and dead cattle could mean poverty and starvation for their families. Environmentalists, however, insisted that herders should not be allowed to kill the lions, as the lion population in the area had already dwindled to near 2,000. Enter our intrepid inventor. He noticed that lions were frightened off by flashlights. Using pieces from broken flashlights, an indicator box from a motorcycle that he had found, and a solar panel, the inventor built an array of lights that would mimic a person swinging a flashlight. His herd has not been attacked since. Lion lights, as he called them, are now used all over Kenya. Others have begun experimenting with them in Zambia and Tanzania, while still others are experimenting with them in India for use against tiger attacks. What is impressive here is that the inventor is a 13-year-old boy, Richard Turere, who had started herding his father's cattle at the age of 6. Richard was not concerned that others would profit from his invention or that he might be shortchanged for his time, effort, and ingenuity. He saw a problem, and his intrepid spirit drove him to find a solution. In the United States, patent and copyright protection focuses on harnessing an inventor or author's desire to create through possible financial incentives. The Constitution authorizes Congress to guarantee possible market power to authors and inventors as an incentive for them to engage in their creative activities. Some may be so used to the concept of a patent or a copyright that they may not realize that there is a debate over whether or not such exclusive rights are the best way to promote innovation. Those who disagree point to inventors like Richard, young geniuses who are driven by their desire to create and problem solve, and one should not lose sight of his own economic livelihood that was threatened. Others argue that relying on an inventor's drive to create is insufficient, as many inventions require significant capital investment and investors are not so driven by the will to create. Bringing investors into the mix only begs further controversy over whether private investment is really the best method to support inventive activities. In medicine, many have argued that pharmaceutical research is distorted when it is driven by market forces. For example, there may be a strong market incentive to find a therapy for a disease than to cure it entirely. In the case of a therapy, a patient must consistently return to the therapy, while a cure is a less profitable, one-time deal. If private investors were removed from the picture, however, then that may leave the government as the only alternative for investment. Incremental research, which improves existing technology, can also be controversial. Incremental research is just as important to technological advancement as ingenious new inventions, but it may lack the bait necessary to hook creative minds absent financial incentives. On the other hand, incremental research can be harmed by granting exclusive rights, as it makes incremental improvement of products more expensive and legally risky for anyone but the upstream inventors. Since an incremental improvement is less profitable than a new product, the added expense and risk can make it less likely for it to be undertaken at all. This is a problem often encountered in the field of information technology and software. In the end, no matter how we decide to allow innovators to benefit from their innovation or not, minds like Richard will always find a way to solve the problems in their lives creatively through invention. I'm Jay Kasin.